Carolina. That's a long ways away from home here. Amen. Take your Bible today and turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I was reading my Bible the other day and I spotted this. I know I've seen it there many times, but the Bible said, "No good thing will God withhold for them that walk righteously." And I, you know, a lot of times in our lives, there's a lot of things that go on that we just can't explain. There's a lot of things that it seems like that this is the first time we've been down that road before. Some of you just starting a new life and marriage, and things are a little different than when you lived with mom and dad and brothers and sisters, and now you're just living with this old guy. And he thinks he owns you, man. And then you're living with this gal, and she expects you to do same things, and without even telling you, she just expects those things, you know. And you're kind of like, "Whoa, dude, where'd that come from?" Amen. And so all of our lives, all of us here today are going through something new. We've never been there before. Some of us, for the first time, have a baby. And some, for the first time, got a second baby. And then there's some that had the third baby. And there are just all kinds of things that are going on in your life you just don't understand. Never been there before. It's okay. We're cool. And you just don't know which way to turn. And so when I read this scripture in the Bible, I thought, "Good night, that's a wonderful thought. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And so how do I do that? How do I start that? How do I get it going? Maybe some of you here today that never known the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. In fact, some of you are here today, you don't even know why you're here. But I will tell you right now, it is God's divine appointment for you to be here today. God intended you to be here. God intended you to listen to the Word of God. See, there is nothing in this world that gets by God. God knows everything. He knows everything about you. In fact, the Bible said he knows the thoughts of your heart before you even say it. That means that he knows what you're about to do. That's kind of an interesting amen. And, boy, I pray to God every day that I would not bring any kind of remorse or bring any kind of disappointment to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to live like that. I want to be very careful how I walk in this old world, how I walk not only in this by me, but also before others that are around me. The blessings of salvation is what God gives, and they are complete with protection he gives to his saints. If you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior this morning, you're a saint. One man said, "Either you're a saint or you're an ain't. Either you're a missionary or mission field. This depends on if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." And he is the whole armor which he clothes us. And when troubles and sorrows come, he promised to look after us. He'll provide a way of escape. Sometimes the way of escape is to heaven. Sometimes he said, "Son, you've had enough." Sometimes he says to the lady, "You have enough." I was at a funeral yesterday up in Shelby, 94-year-old lady. One of our folks' mama, Richard and Connie, a brochure that come here. They drive all the way from Shelby, come to this church. And I was up there, and I listened to the pastor talk about her and how that she lived a godly life and how she always wanted to serve God. She always had a smile on her face and always had something to say about Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you what, for 94 years, that's a pretty good testimony, amen? And so I hope that today that's the kind of life we want to live. For the Bible says here that no good thing will he withhold from them the walk uprightly. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. Lord, if there's anyone here that don't know, they do have no idea about you. They've never come to the point in their life that they reached out and called for your name and asked you to save them. Lord, today would be that day. Lord, maybe there are some that are here today in trouble. They're about ready to give up. They're about ready to give in. They're about ready to just fall away. Lord God, I pray today that they would understand that the man that walks righteously, you promise not to withhold anything from him. So, Lord, help him today in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, he is our complete satisfaction. After you become a believer, you will quickly notice that the unbelieving world, those who do not, or those that you used to run with, many times will look at you with pity. You've turned your back to the carnal things of pleasure of life, and you've turned to Christ, and they are there feeling so bad for you. The unbelievers say, "Oh man, you're going to miss out on all the great, the laughs, the fun that we're having." And then for a moment there, you kind of think of it, but then you remember that throwing up around a porcelain, hugging a porcelain thing, and the guilt that you feel when you do some things you shouldn't be doing. You say, you know what? I found out that wasn't fun. I was 21 years old and playing football in college, and our football season stopped, and I took a week off of college and went home. And when I went home, some of my buddies found out I was home, and they called us up, and so Friday night we're going to go out and do some crazy stuff. And I was 21 years old, and I went out with those guys, and we sat around, and all they want to do is talk about dirty things, and all they want to do is about tell dirty jokes, and they want to drink, and they want to, you know, do all those other things. And I sat there and I said, you know what? This is not for me. This is not what I want to do the rest of my life. I'd been in Christian college. I'd seen kids that loved the Lord. I'd seen them go out on Saturdays and Sundays and work in churches. I'd seen them excited about serving God. I'd seen them come and share a portion of Scripture, said, man, God's been good to me, and the Lord has taken care of this and that. And I said, you know what? That's the crowd I want to run with. It's amazing how that Satan always brings his best. And then when we refuse to go that way, God always brings his best. I came back to college, started dating a little girl that we've been dating for almost 47 years now. Well, actually 50 years, but we've been married 47 years. And God gave me what I needed at that moment in the time of my life. But I made a change. I asked a preacher a while back, I said, what do you think that happened? Why do I want to serve God? And there's so many things out there. And he said, you purposed in your heart like Daniel did. And I never thought of it that way. Daniel purposed in his heart not to do the things of the world, didn't he? He purposed. He said, I'm not going there anymore. There's a lot of things in this life that are going to be very, 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 tempting. There's a lot of things in this life that are very, why do I have to go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why can't I do this and why can't I do that? And you know, Satan uses that to discourage us. Let me tell you something, the greatest days of my life, and I love what Scripture says there, where it says, for no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. I'll tell you some wonderful things that happened in my life because I did trust Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. But the thing is, I can't live your life. I can't be with you at all the times. I heard one kid said, he was at school and something happened. He said, man, my preacher'd kill me. And I heard another preacher said, don't use my name. You tell him it was God. And I said, hey, buddy, if you got a problem, you say the preacher kill you, because I'm going to. But use that. When I was in school, when things got bad, I'd say, my mama would kill me if I did that. How many ever use that? Don't lie to me. Amen. And got me out of a lot of trouble when I said, my mama. My mama's 4'11", but I'll tell you what, she knew karate. She knew jiu-jitsu, she knew taco, she knew mozzarella. I mean, she knew it all. I mean, she just jack-slapped me to tomorrow. And so I'd tell them, I said, hey, man, my mama catch me do that, she'd kill me. And they believed me, so they'd walk away. And, you know, the blessing of salvation is what God does give us. When I realize that I'm a sinner and realize that I need a Savior, and there's no way out of this world without having Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that's when the blessings begin. When I call upon His name, the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. Saved us forever, for eternity. Now, He gives us what we call complete satisfaction. After you become a believer, you will quickly notice that the unbelieving world, what? They feel sorry for you. Oh, I'm sorry you can't go without to drink and to vomit our guts out. Boy, that's a blessing. Boy, that's a lot of fun, amen. But the answer of the man who has found the satisfaction of God and in his service is simple and emphatic. The Bible says, for a day in the court is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. Andy, I'm hearing some noise going on. To be such a privileged servant of God is better than to be a rich man and enjoy the pleasure of the sin for a season. He who is in the midst of all the feasting and all the reveling. Now think back to Luke chapter 19 when the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus died and he went to heaven. The rich man found himself in hell. And today he's still there. Even today in that torment, the unquenchable fire of hell. He had his pleasures, and he had his things, and he had his servants, and he had his food. And the Bible said he was beautiful, he had beautiful garments. But one thing he lacked the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I was telling some folks the other day, I said, you know, it's a bad thing when a rich man who has everything the world can offer to him and in all the frivolity and all the lights and all the sparkling things and all the foods and the trips and all the toys. And he dies and goes to a Christless eternity of hell. I think the most pitiful thing is when a man all through his life has had trouble and sorrows and he can't pay his bills and he can't do this and his vehicle's always broken down and there's never enough food in the cupboard and there's always more kids to feed and he doesn't know which way to go and he dies without Christ. And he goes into the same hell as the rich man did. I don't care how beautiful house you are that you have and I don't care how terrible rundown rental you have. I'm going to tell you something. Both of you, whether you got the magnificent mansion or you got the rental, both of you are going to lay in the same kind of grave. Now, how pitiful is that? God promises to every need He'll supply. Protection from all evil and every needful thing He simply supplies. Out of His energetic goodness, as the sun causes the earth to be fruitful to every good thing, out through His powerful rays. Chief among these things is grace for the time being and glory for the time to come. What can man want more? Listen to David. You still got it going on, Doc. Now, folks, I'm going to get this thing fixed. I don't care what I have to do, but I'm going to get this thing fixed. It drives me crazy. How many can hear it? I'm deaf. I can hear the thing. Amen. I want you to listen to David's beatitude. You'll find that in verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Blessed. He's blessed if he trusts in the Lord. May the Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob, our God and our Father, fulfill all our goodness to us in these things by creating on us a longing thirst and a desire which shall be coveted into prayer and trust and real possessions. David knew what he was talking about when he wrote this. David was away from the temple. David was on the run. King Saul was chasing him. He didn't have his own home. He lived with 400 other men. They were chased. Saul was trying to, he just wanted to kill him as quick as he could because Saul knew that David was going to be the next king. But look how he delighted in the Lord's house. The great truth which underlines the psalm is that God reveals Himself especially in His sanctuary. The house of God to David was a pardoned. The house of God to David was peace. It was the wall that shut out all the noise of the world so he could worship. I heard a preacher preach one day. He said, when we were out in the world, we come into the church. We come into the sanctuary of the church. And we leave the world outside. That's why it so fires me up about these churches that bring the rock and roll and the country and western music and the shouting and the craziness into the church. Hey, that's supposed to stay out of the church. It's supposed to stay out of the church. I hear so many families today. Good night, brother. You got me cranked up. I hear so many people today that say, we won't go to our church anymore. Churches started 1955. I was just there, and they said, we started this church to glorify the Heavenly Father. That's why a family drives 100 miles one way to come to our church because of their music and because of the Bible. I'll tell you what, I'll die for my music and I'll die for my Bible. A man read yesterday in Psalm 23, he said, you know, the King James says it a lot better. I'm going to say, well, then why don't you use the King James, stupid? At the end of it, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Their Bible says, and I will dwell in the house as long as I live. I want to get up and do a little explanation there. God, David knew that he would live in the house of the Lord forever. Not as long as he lived, it was forever. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. John wrote in John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Don't mess with my Bible. Don't mess with my Bible. When you come into the sanctuary, it brings peace. It's a funny thing that, boy, last week was kind of I was pinging off the wall last week. It was just kind of crazy for me. But this morning when I walked into this church, I just felt like, you know, everything's okay. There's a little song that everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, there is joy, joy, joy. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Hey, there's just something about coming to the Father's house. There's just something about leaving all our worries and cares outside when we walk in and say, man, and I see some people come in and just kind of like, they go like this, and man, turn that down a little bit, brother. They just kind of like, oh, I'm here. I'm just glad I'm in church. I don't worry about my bills. I don't worry about the sickness. Man, it's just kind of like, that's why coming to the sanctuary, David said, it brings peace to my heart. It's the walls that shut out earthly confusion and strife. He also said, in the house, God finds spiritual strength. When we come here, we find spiritual strength. Hey, you know what? I might be able to make it. One more day. I might be able to make it one more time. I just might make it to Wednesday when I come back. This is a test. No, I don't have nothing up there, brother. Hello, hello. There we go. Don't touch nothing. Just leave it there now. In the house of God, we find spiritual strength. When our hearts fail, there's a couple of times last week my heart failed. Sometimes you just get enough, and you like to say, enough is enough. When our conscience yields, when our life string snaps. You ever had a life string snap? We must bear our hardships and our sorrow every road from the cradle to the grave. But the pilgrims to Zion changed the barrenness to bloom, and singing together as they went, and they were so thrilled that they were heading to temple. In the house of God, we find also spiritual joy. There's an old writer named Paschal who said, happiness is neither within us nor without us. It is union of ourselves with God. Man, that's good. You know what? This old world seems like there's not a lot of things happy lately. Seems like a lot of troubles and sorrows going on in this crazy world. Seems like the world is gearing up for this one magnificent war. They don't want peace. They want the whole thing. There is a time we need to come together and find peace. There is no necessary limit to this joy, none except the capacity of the human spirit when we fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can come before Him and fall on our face before Him and say, dear God, I can't take it anymore. You're going to have to help me in this thing. I don't know which way to turn. Some of you may be here today and your marriage is having some problems. Hey, God says, call unto me. He said, casting all your cares upon Him and He cares for you. God wants to help you through this thing. Some of you teenagers going through some crazy stuff, don't you look at me like that and say, oh, I'm not having any trouble. Yes, you are. I had terrible troubles when I was a teenager. Drive me crazy. Man, things are going on in this old brain of mine, body of mine, I couldn't figure it out. And trouble is, I was running with a whole bunch of people that had the same problems. I wasn't running with the old people that said, well, you'll get over it. And you just hang on now. Don't give up. Don't cheat this. Don't do this. Make sure you do that. I was running with kids that had the same problem there. Said, man, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I don't either. But when you take your cares to the Lord, He careth to you. That's called living by faith. Lord, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what. Some of you are trying to buy a house. Some of you are trying to buy a new vehicle. Some of you are trying to just pay your bills. And you say, Lord, I don't know which way to turn on this. Hey, you know what? Give it to the Lord. What does the Lord say here? No good thing will He withhold for them that, what? Walk uprightly. And you can't walk uprightly unless you have the Word of God in your heart. And you can't have the Word of God in your heart unless you read the Word of God in your heart. Our church should be built to manifest God. This is God's house. Our singing, which thank you for all you who sang today, our choir and those that sang specials today, that manifested, that built us up to listen to the promises that God has for us. Music touches everything of our whole body and our mind. It's the most amazing thing. Music in churches get us ready to hear the preaching of the Word of God. The worship of church should seek the same end. Music, scriptures, prayers, teaching, preaching have but one object. And that's to bring glorification to the Heavenly Father. Our desire is that Jesus would be praised. Our desire is to say, hey, there is a God in heaven that created all this magnificent universe, and He says, I love you. I would that none would perish, but all would come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what church is about. We have fellowship. It's good to see our buddies and friends. Sometimes it's the only time we get to see each other. And man, it's a family reunion when we come to church. Hey, good to see you. Hey, how you doing? Hey, did you go hunting? Hey, did you go fishing? Oh, did you tip your motorcycle over? Did you, whatever, And it's time we get to, hey, I got this new recipe. Oh, yeah. What is it? Well, I'm not giving it up. Our life is, hey, how's school going? and on and on. How's work going? Hey, brother, having a tough time at work. And you put your arm around that guy. I said, man, let's pray right now. That's what church is about. That's what. Don't say, I'll pray for you. Pray for him right then. Boy, you, some of you come out the door and shake my hand and say, boy, I said, how you doing? Well, it's been tough. Well, let's pray right now. This is a house of God. This is a place that we can come. Some of you are going to college. Some of you are going to get some studies. It's not easy. That's why not everybody has that wonderful diploma in their hand. It takes work. It's hard. Some of you got a job that's overwhelming you. Well, pray. Have your friends pray for you. Amen. The worship of the church is to seek and glorify God. And it's a place that we come together and say, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. Yeah, hey, Bob, I went through that a while back. I understand what you're going through, man. I know it's the same thing, but I've been there before. I have empathy for you. Hey, Charlene, I know that, man, you got three boys. Marsh says, boy, it was a mess sometimes, all those three guys. It's amazing. My wife would spend about 8 hours cleaning the house. And 30 seconds, those three little boys had destroyed the whole thing, man. 30 seconds? Are you kidding me? My wife said, okay, I heard this. She went to a ladies' meeting and heard this. She said, I want everybody to give us 10. I said, what do you mean 10? Just stop everything you're doing. And I'm going to set a stopwatch. In 10 minutes, you go to your room, you go to your room, you go to your room. Our boys had one room. They had it made. Amen. I had the garage. I had the basement. All right, 10 minutes. And man, you're amazing what can get done in 10 minutes. Just stop everything that you're doing 10 minutes. You know. But it's difficult sometimes. It's difficult when you're sick. When you don't feel good. And there's a lot of that, isn't there? Tired, which way to turn. Some of you work an extra job. I know a number of our men of our church work two jobs. And some of your ladies are working a job. Then you got those crazy tricycle motors and ankle biters running around in your house. Life is difficult. And that's why we need so badly to come apart and get inside the sanctuary and be loved and encouraged and be taught. That's why God gives us the church. In fact, God loves this church so much, He gave His only begotten Son to die for the church, and Jesus Christ loved this church so much, He bled and died for this church so that we could have a place that we can meet week after week after week to encourage one another and glorify His name. There's a hymn that goes like this, nearer my God to Thee, nearer to Thee, e'en though I be a cross that raiseth me, still my song shall be nearer my God to Thee, nearer my God to Thee, nearer to Thee. Though like the wanderer the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I be nearer my God to Thee. There let the way appear, step unto heaven. All that Thou sendest me in mercy given, angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to Thee. There with my waking thoughts bright with Thy praise, out of my stony grief, Bethel, I'll rise. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee. Or if our joyful wing cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forget, upward I fly. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to Thee. There in my Father's home, safe and at rest. That's what I'm looking for. There is my Savior's love perfectly blessed. Age after age to be nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. There's no substitute for the sanctuary of God. Bigotry may close its doors. But the every Christian concentrates a chapel in the catacombs. Covenanters may make caves or take barns or the sea beach as a temple. Neglect of that sanctuary proves not abundance, but lack of spiritual life. We need the sanctuary that we come out of the world and come to God. David calls to mind and enthusiastically describes his feeling and think of the temple. This is what he said in that verse. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord God. Think of this now. He is running away. He is way down in the dusty deserts of the south, down by the Dead Sea. He wants to come home. But he can't come home. He wants to go to the temple. But he can't come to the temple because he'll be arrested. Some believe he was writing this when his son took over the kingdom. When he sat and worried and thought, oh, if I could only. He said, how amiable. The word amiable means beloved. Oh, I love the temple. Oh, if I could just go back to the temple, to the tabernacle. Of course, this is before the temple was born, made, but go back to the tabernacle. Enthusiastically describes his feeling and think of the tabernacle. Nothing is left to the exile but the solace of memory. He's out in the wilderness. Some of you men have been in war. Some in World War II. Not very many of those boys left anymore. Some in the Korean War, away from home. Some Vietnam. Those jungles and rice paddies. Though you had soldiers with you, you were alone. You missed home. Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Afghanistan. You're alone. Sitting in an old hot old sweaty tent. And your memories started going back to home. Mama's fried chicken. Sunday dinner. Girlfriend. Wife. Babies were born when you weren't there. And just something started in you. Remember those days? I mean, remember the first time you went away to college. I am 6 foot tall, 210 pounds. I am a football player. I'm a screamer. Y'all know what that means, don't you? And I'm laying in my bunk bed. Blanket over my head, whimpering. I miss home. I can't get home. I flew to college. There ain't no way I can fly back until Christmas time. It's harvest time in the farm of Michigan. It is the greatest time in your life. It's bird hunting. It's deer hunting. It's dinner with the relatives every Sunday. And I miss it home. I'm missing the Hope Baptist Church of Hope, Michigan, where my pastor preaches. I'm missing my Sunday school teacher. I'm missing my friends. And nobody can console me. A telephone call does not console me. It just makes me even more hungry for home. That's what David was. Nothing left to exile. The solace in his memory, the faith, the hope. The imagination, acting by the law of association, calls up the details of the scene, and he says, how amiable are the tabernacles of the host, Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out to the living God. And then he thinks of this. This is the most incredible portion of the scripture. Look at here in verse 4. Would you look there? Verse 3, excuse me. Yea, the sparrows have found a house, and the swallows a nest for herself, where she lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He said, good night. Here I'm sitting. I can't even get to the I can't even get to the outer chambers of the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, the sparrows and the swallows live. I interpret that stinking birds can be there, and I can't even be there. And he said, oh God, that's where I want to be. Your life will change when you come into the sanctuary week after week. Sometimes we get so used to it. Sometimes it's whatever. Well, we may make it this time. I'll tell you something. A true one who has missed it, who say, I will never miss again. I will be faithful to God's home. That's why God said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in the manner some is, but exhorting one another so much the more. See, exhorting one another. Hey, where were you this morning? Come on to church. You missed the sermon. You need to be here. You missed the singing. Hey, you need to be here. Hey, you need to be here to be participate in the service. I hope to God that you'd be like David, who says, how admirable, how beloved are thy tabernacles, O Lord God of hosts. Oh, I just love to be in church. Why? Spiritually. If you're here today and you've never knew that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died on the cross to save you from your sins, and you need a Savior, hell is coming, and you better get ready. You better put your house in order. You better make sure that you have a place in your heart that you have invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That's why you need to be in the sanctuary. Secondly, you may be here and you're saved, but your life is just going in the whirlwind. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know if you're up or you're down, inside or out. And the preaching gives you a reason why we live. Not only that, if you have children, it's so important that you give them a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Give them an opportunity to come to Christ. Give them an opportunity to learn the commandments of the Word of God. To learn how they ought to live in this life. This is a tough life, and I'll tell you right now, and you listen to this old preacher, it's going to get tougher. I mean, the handwriting is on the wall. So it'd be a good idea to enjoy the freedom of religion, what we have today, before we lose it all. And it could be very possible very quickly. Let us be faithful to God's house. Let us be faithful to His Word, what the Bible says. Let me walk close to Him. Father, I pray You'd help us today. As David thought, how amazing it is for little birdies to be nesting in the place that he wanted to be. There at God's throne, swallows and doves and sparrows flew. Something beautiful about that. Praising You, he wanted to praise You. Lord, You even said even a little sparrow, when it falls to the ground, the Father knows it. He said, oh God, I just want to be in the sanctuary. Lord, help us to be faithful today. Help us to be faithful to Your Word. Help us to be faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, I pray today would be that day that they would invite You to be their Savior, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I sure want to know that. right there where you're sitting, you can invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior and invite Him to come into your heart. By praying a prayer goes like this: God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. If you'd like to do that, why don't you pray that right now? Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and save me right now. I need You. I need a Savior. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I prayed that prayer today, would you lift your hand? God bless you. Anyone else? Well, it's a great day to know Jesus as your Savior. There's a wild world out there. There's a lot of crazy things going on. Sure is a blessing. What a hope it is to know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. At that funeral yesterday, what a blessing it was to hear the testimony of that Anna, 94-year-old lady, who never let you get out of her way without hearing about her Jesus. Boy, I wish that we do that. Amen. Here today you say, preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life that God really brought to my life, and I want to get them things right with God. I pray that you would come and use the altar this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. This is what we call the invitation. We invite you to come forward and say, and tell me what I can help you with, and maybe can pray for you. If you want to just pray, that's fine. Just go. Let's all stand. Pianist is going to play. If you're here today and you do not have Jesus in your heart, why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Bible. I can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, you know, we've been coming here and we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. We want a sanctuary. We want a place that we can come away from this world and come away from the world and come into God's house and be able to think about the things of God, and pray and sing and worship together with a group of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting you here today and say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's Word. I'm not here to make a Baptist out of here. I'm here that you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Behold, today is the day. Don't let another day go without Jesus Christ. I encourage you to be back tonight. I hope you'll come back 6 o'clock tonight. Be faithful to your sanctuary. Sanctuary is a place that holds security, a place that we can get away. And people talk about finding the sanctuary of places they can get away. It's no big name. It's a place that we can come together and serve together. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the Word of God, and oh, how David just yearned. Oh, his heartstring just pulled at him. Oh, if I could just be there one more time. Lord, the things that we love the most, and when we're gone from things, is the one that we want to be there the most. Bless this time, Lord. Help us. I pray for Bernice today. Would you watch over and care for her? Be with those that are traveling. Be with those that are in trouble today. Help them. Encourage them, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.